famous Phil Hendry show, and Bobby and Steve Dooley are not in studio.
No, they're going to be calling in.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah, I wanted them in studio.
Yeah, they said that, please ask Mr. Hendry if it's okay, we do it on the phone.
As long as they're not, you know, having technical difficulties with this jazz, you know. We had them on a boat yesterday and had all kinds of stuff going on there.
Well, the boat was a problem because they... they couldn't get a signal, so now they want to do it back at the house.
Yeah, but they're still on a phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you want them to do?
Get on a remote line so it sounds like it's... How about doing Skype or something like that?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That sounded duly about it. You want me to call them back and ask them about it?
No, because we're doing the show now. Okay?
I can still call them.
Hey, bud, do you understand that we're doing the show right now?
Yeah, we're doing it right now. What difference? You going to call them up now and tell them to do it?
You know...
Yeah, but why can't they get on Skype now?
Do they have Skype on a phone up there? Do they have any kind of Skype access?
No, I don't think they do. I know you have it on your cell phone.
And then forget it. So let's just talk to the Dooleys here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We also have Professor Emery Clayton. And we have as well a visit from Ted Bell, who has season tickets to the Anaheim Angels, or the LA Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And they have a rock formation out in center field.
Yeah, that thing is bitchy. You ever seen it?
Yeah, it's like they got a waterfall.
Yeah, there's a waterfall.
What are you talking about?
There's a. Have you ever seen Angel Stadium?
What is Angel Stadium? Is that where the Angels play, obviously? I didn't know that they had one.
You remember Anaheim Stadium?
Yes, I know Anaheim Stadium.
It's Angel Stadium now. They did a complete renovation.
Oh, you're... Now, see, I never saw that.
Yeah, General, you got to see it. Now they got a waterfall out in the middle of the center field area.
A waterfall? What's that supposed to mean?
It's just a design feature, you know. That was my chair. What are you looking at?
Well, it sounded like a fart, if you'll pardon me.
Yeah, a lot of chair squeaks do.
Yeah, a lot of chair squeaks do, so...
All right, Christ.
Give me this look. God, General, I shifted in my chair. General's like, durr.
Well, Phil, here's what I heard. Hey, and this is Phil Hendry.
Hey, bud, I'm going to throw you out of here.
Yeah, you got to admit.
I'm going to throw you out of here.
Come on, man, shut up.
Got to admit, it was funny.
One, two.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Shit. Getting back to what we were talking about.
You know, Hendry, you got to grow up, okay? Fart humor is well below you.
Yeah, truth.
What's so funny about that?
So I'm going to be talking with Ted Bell, just moving along here, Ted Bell today about his Angel season tickets. He's got some idea. So you know what the Angel Stadium is.
All right, so you're telling me Angel Stadium was, that was Anaheim Stadium, and they've changed it.
Yeah, I mean, haven't you seen General?
Haven't I seen General?
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
All right, let's bring on the Dooleys, by the way.
Yeah, you're on line number two.
That's great. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the phone with us here from Butner Lake. Where are you guys at right now, Bobby?
Oh, we're at the Goblin Landing, having a cocktail. And we're over here with Gretchen and Bill Fletcher. And also, Phil, as you know, Steve Swallowman?
Yeah, Steve, he's a friend of Ted Bell's.
Yeah, Steve Swallowman, who flipped his boat last summer on his, you know, racing us over to Goblin Landing, you know?
Yeah, that was the film footage.
Yeah, that's Steve Swallowman's boat. He is good friends with Ted Bell, and I think he and Mr. Bell have the season tickets you're talking about and everything.
Yeah, did you know that, Mr. Henry?
No, I did not. That'll be interesting. So he's going to be talking with us tonight.
Yeah, you know what he's going to be talking about, don't you?
About his season, about some ideas for season tickets?
Well, yeah, he's going to be talking about...
Why don't you let him tell me, and we can...
Yeah, Mr. Edward, we know all about it.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing, but I thought maybe he could tell me.
Well, what he's going to say, they want to be able to sunbathe out on the Fountain of Rocks.
Yeah, the feature they got is called the Fountain of Rocks.
It's called a rock fountain, not the Fountain of Rocks.
What are you talking about now? Yeah, that's the Fountain of Rocks we're talking about at this Angel Stadium.
Yeah, General, I mean, the Angel Stadium, they refurbished it a number of years ago. You don't know nothing about that?
No, all right. That's great, and we'll look forward to that. So, Bobby and Steve, are you enjoying your time up there? You know that I would rather hear you guys on a nicer line, like a Skype line. Can you do that?
Well, we're going to come back to town. We've got some things to finish up over the weekend in L.A. So we're going to come back to town, and we'll be back in your studio tomorrow and Friday. So those are to be the two big live shows that we'll do. And I know that
Margaret's due back on Monday.
You sure? Because we're very happy to...
We're very happy to help you out with the show. I know you need help, and I know that we've been very busy. We're torn in a million different directions.
No, we've got it covered, Ms. Dooley, if you will.
Well, I think I'm asking Phil, if all due respect.
Yeah, the general's right. We have it covered. Margaret is coming back on Monday.
You're sure? Because last week she was kind of rag ass, you know.
She's a little ragged around the ass, you know. That's a figure of speech.
Yeah, what's that mean, ragged around the ass? Sound like an insult.
It's not an insult. It means she's just, you know, she's kind of dragging ass.
Yeah, that's my father used to say, drag ass.
It's called the drag ass.
She's going to be fine. What?
She's calling in.
Oh, Christ. No, I don't want to put her on the air.
She's insisting on going here.
Who is it?
It's Margaret.
Well, put her on. I'd love to talk to her.
Hi, Margaret.
Yeah, I just want to tell you something, Bobby. I'm not ragged ass, all right? Gee, Margaret, don't get your underwear wadded up and shoved up the crack.
Oh, God.
Margaret, you're going to wind up flipping your lid again, and we won't be able to put you back on the air.
You understand what this woman is doing? I'm just saying, calm down, Margaret. Don't get it wadded up.
Yeah, you don't want to get it wadded up and then wadded up into a ball and then shoved right up the rectal area.
You know something, Phil? I'm going to be fine. I'll be calm. I swear to God I'll be calm. But if these two people are anywhere near your studio...
I don't want to hear you talk that way. I need for you to be coming back here with your stuff together.
Yeah, Margaret, to put it in a much more directly, you got to come back here with your shit together.
Oh, is that right? I agree, Margaret. You need to get back here with your shit together.
Yeah. Because if you don't, I mean, we're going to have to fill in. I don't know, maybe even be the replacement.
We might even be your replacement. You know something? When that happens, the nuns go ice skating with the devil. God, hang me up, will you please?
Let her hang up.
And I'll tell you something.
Okay, there's...
She said the nuns go ice skating with the devil. What does that mean?
Hell freezes over, I guess. Hell, you know what?
Oh, that's... My God, what a blasphemous thing.
Well, it's better than just saying, you know, hell freezing over. It's a little more creative. Yeah, you don't want to bait her in an argument, though.
Yeah, we weren't baiting her into an argument, Dickman. God damn.
What did I tell you about calling him Dickman?
All right, sorry, bud.
Yeah, it's better.
Oh, man.
Well, we weren't baiting her into an argument. All we said was she was ragged ass.
Well, she's coming back on Monday, and I would suggest you guys stay far away.
We're not going anywhere near your studio, Phil, although I don't like the intimation. Are you trying to tell me that if Steve and I show up, she's going to kick my ass?
No, she did once before.
No, she didn't. No, she did not.
I don't want to hear any more about it. She's going to be back on Monday. I thank you guys for filling in.
Sure.
Yeah, Mr. Senator, just hoping that you'll understand that we've done a great service to you, because we got a lot of stuff. We got Steve Swallowman's going to be here and everything.
I know Steve Swallowman's going to be there. Is he coming on the air with Ted?
Do I look like I'm producing your show now?
You know something? You could at least be a little gracious. No, I mean, just find out if Swallowman's there.
I don't want my wife looking for any guy named Swallowman. Do you understand? There's a suggestion there.
You know, I had to kick your ass just for...
All right, thank you very much, folks. I appreciate that, and I don't need any more commentary on that, if you don't mind.
Kick your ass for drill. Just...
The Dooleys on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, so, what did she say?
Didn't want to keep... Mr. Dooley said he don't want his wife around any guy named Swallowman.
Jesus.
Well, what are you laughing at?
What am I laughing at? Are you kidding? All right, anyway, that's going to be Ted Bell later on in the program. Coming up right now, right after this break, I should say, is Professor Emery Clayton. And Professor Clayton is a teacher. I was just talking to him today. I went to the doctor today. He went to the doctor today. He has a high blood pressure.
Oh, brother, he's getting to that point in life, you know, you don't calm the hell down.
Yeah, well, he's got high blood pressure. He's going to talk with us about that and about teaching, and just checking in with Professor Emery Clayton to see how he is doing here in these days of Trump.
Yay! You like Trump, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The National Hamster Show at the beautiful Civic Arena. Now, through the end of the month, hamsters of all sizes, and not only that, they're practical, they're handy. Playing pianos, using carpentry, hamsters are doing it, and they're doing it now than ever before. Yes, the hamster is back, the hamster is proud, and the hamster wants you to know he's ready to go back to work. Hamsters are standing in line, ready for whatever job you've got. The National Hamster Show, showing what they can do from carpentry, through electrical work, through playing the piano, automotive, you got it. You got it, friend. It's the hamster. That's right. And let's talk right now, Turkey, if you'll pardon the pun, about the hamster. With me is Jack Willingsley. Back, Jack, you have been a long-time proponent of the hamster. What are they? What are the achievements these days?
The hamster, I can tell you, has exceeded expectations. You remember when I used to make shirts?
I do.
They're now in not only making shirts and pants, but they've gone well beyond that. Hats, socks, muffin, mittens. I was going to say muffins, mittens.
Do they cook?
Well, they do cook, yes, as you well know. They cook. You listen to him by being shy. Well, I had a hamster in-house for a while that cooked. Yes, I did. I heard that's not all it did. You dirty, stinking...
The National Hamster Show, now through the end of the month.
Pray God it arrives soon.
The National Institute of Mental Institutions has given Sweet Farm its National Peak Award. That's A. That's gold. That's solid gold, man. It doesn't get better than that. For the last 6 years running. Why? Because Sweet Farm takes everyone. That's right, we don't turn anyone away. It doesn't matter if you're looking at bats, rats, frogs, spiders, you know.
Sweet Farm, it's always been there. When you've been asleep, when you've been awake, when you've been out of town in another country, Sweet Farm has been here, or there, waiting for you.
Only a matter of time. That's what we like to say at Sweet Farm. It's only a matter of time before you're here, parked in front of a window.
Yes, Sweet Farm. All forms of insurance taken.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, the El Pacifico in Southern California. And welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. We have Professor Emery Clayton on the line. Professor Emery Clayton, he is a professor of urban studies and history at L.A. Canyon College in Canyon Country up in the northern part of L.A. Good to have the professor on with us. Wanted to give just that update and see how you're doing, Professor. And I know you and I were talking about going to the doctor today. I had no idea that you were, you have hype. What is that music there?
Phil, I'm listening right. I hope it's not too distracting because it is chamber music. And this is something the doctor recommended to lower my blood pressure. I also have to take blood pressure medicine. But I am enjoying immensely the beautiful sounds of the chamber music.
What's chamber music?
Yeah, what is for the uneducated, uninitiated?
And you'd be what?
I'm probably the uninitiated, although I lived in St. Paul.
Now, don't give me a big story, Phil. I know they have the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. You're talking there in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with them. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't, but...
Okay, I know. You intended to, but you didn't.
But what is chamber music?
Chamber music is just a very few instruments that you can play in a small area and affect the classical music and some of the great classics. But generally, chamber music, the cello, a couple of violins, maybe a trombone. Excuse me, a trombone.
What do you mean a trombone?
I got that wrong. Not a trombone, but music that is edifying, that is genteel. And this is very good. I like this. I also have a harpsichord record I'm going to put on here.
Is this a radio station you listen to?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's out of Cal Lutheran.
Today you went to the doctor. Tell me about it.
I did, Phil. I went to the doctor, and I had my blood pressure checked. It's 145 over 95.
Good God.
Yeah, it's...
Is that bad?
It's high blood pressure.
Now, what are you going to do?
What I'm going to do is I'm taking blood pressure medicine. I'm listening to this beautiful music. My wife and I are going to take in some music at the Hollywood Bowl, you know, Phil, the Summer Under the Stars with the LA Philharmonic.
That's a lot of... I hear a lot of people take advantage of that.
Have you ever done it?
No, I haven't.
Now, see, I know you go for the jazz, but you don't go for classical music.
I don't.
Why not?
I have never considered it.
Do you not like... See, this is the thing. You don't like classical music.
No, I don't think, Phil...
Just hold on. I think Phil's a big boy. Do you like classical music, Phil?
I do.
Then why haven't you gone to the Summer Under the Stars, the L.A. Philharmonic?
It's never occurred to me. Honest to God, it's never occurred to me. Hey, wow, you know, and now it has, and...
Okay, now that it has, what would you do?
Well, are you promoting the L.A. Philharmonic?
I'm just curious, because I have discovered... Listen to this. This is beautiful music, and this is the kind of thing that can... As I said, now here's the... Now, you wouldn't believe that's me playing it, would you?
No, I would not.
That is. That's me playing that.
Are you playing it now?
No, that's a recording of me playing it. Although I was playing one of those automatic machines, so the harpsichord was playing most of it. I was just playing the right-hand part.
The harpsichord?
Well, you're talking about one of those automatic pianos and things like that?
Yeah, except it's a harpsichord.
Well, then you're not really playing it.
I'm playing a right-handed part.
every note?
Not every note. Right there. You hear the thing, do-do-do-do-do. I did that part.
And you recorded it, huh?
They give you the recording before you leave the store. What am I supposed to do? Take it. Hey, thanks a lot, pal, but stick it up your you-know-what. I don't want...
Well, it sounds nice. Are you thinking of playing the harpsichord?
No. But I can tell you, it's relaxing as heck, and I need it.
Why do you... So I want to ask you something seriously, because, Professor, we all care about you and want you to be around for a long time. What do you think is causing the high blood pressure? Just something hereditary?
No, the doctor said it's environmental. It's because my blood pressure traditionally has been very low, but in the last couple of years, it has started to rise. Now, my diet's pretty much the same. The doctor thinks it is the pressure of the job. And I said, I'm not really under a lot of pressure. And he said, well, then what about your job is disturbing to you? And I said, about the only thing is looking at the students, you know.
When you say looking at the students...
I mean dealing with the students, looking at them. That gets the blood pressure up. And there's not a whole lot I can... And I have great faith in our young people, Phil. And I believe that our young people are the future of America. But when I walk into a classroom in the morning and I scan the classroom and I look at them, or into a lecture hall, and I see what I got in front of me, I want to turn around and go back out and then come back in again. Like maybe I need to rub my eyes.
Why?
Because maybe I'm seeing things.
Well, what is it that you're seeing?
Dad, what are you seeing ghouls and stuff?
I'm not seeing ghouls, Dickman. What I'm seeing are these students who they're thick, man. They are real thick, and I don't know that they're getting... They're not the brightest group in the world.
Well, I mean, a lot of teachers and a lot of professors, a lot of educators have differing classes from time to time.
No, but this has been going on for 2 years. Maybe I've just now noticed the students I have, but I wouldn't say they're dumb. I like to use the word thick. That means sooner or later might be able to get through to them. So they're not dumb, but they're thick. And when I walk in and I have that moment where I go, oh, yeah, I forgot. And I turn around and I make like I'm going to walk out, and I realize I can't do that.
What does that mean, oh, yeah, I forgot?
You're talking about you forgot you had a bunch of dumbasses?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly, Robert. I go home, I have myself a meal, I kiss my wife, I enjoy my dog and have my pipe or whatever the heck I do. And then I get a good feeling about the human race. I get a good feeling about life in general. Then I get into the car and I drive to school the next day, walk into the classroom, and I go, oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
I've got...
What are you laughing at?
Yeah, Phil, it's very disrespectful.
Sorry.
I look, I go, oh, that's right. I forgot I got these. And I can tell you,
Well, why don't you take some time off? You know, I was... talking to Margaret, you know, Margaret's taking a week off.
I need more than a week off, okay? This is not something where I'm going to go home and, lay in bed and listen to the radio or something. I need to... I got to get out of here, man.
Well, you need a sabbatical.
That is exactly what I need, is a sabbatical. Now, that's an educator's term. You know that term?
Only from hearing you guys talk about it. I assume it's something that's months long.
It is a sabbatical. If I were in England, I've seen a couple of movies where they send their teachers on a sabbatical to Australia. That's where you send a British person when they go to Australia. You might as well be telling them, go straight to the devil, you know, and work it out there. You need to go someplace so far away that we don't have to see or think about you. You work your stuff out. And then in a couple of years, give us a call and we'll see about you coming back. Now that's...
You're kidding, man. Australia is a great country. It has...
Yeah, sure, Phil. Australia costs more an arm and a leg to live there. The people there aren't all that happy to see you. I guarantee you that. Going to Australia is a tough, tough thing.
You know, there's a guy that we know here on the show, Christian O'Connell.
Yeah?
And he's a British broadcaster, a disc jockey. He's gone to Australia.
Good luck to him. So he went to Australia. Why? Was he what do they call that?
Exiled.
Yeah, did they exile him?
No, they didn't. That was a gig that he took. I imagine he wants to go to a country that's... Perhaps he wants to go there with the weather, the possibility. You know, Australia's kind of like the States, man. There's a lot of... It seems like the sky's the limit down there.
Oh, yeah, the sky's the limit. The bush is the limit there. All right, hey, yeah, I got it going on, man. And the next thing you know, you've wandered out into the middle of the desert, and there's a kangaroo looking at you like, this is it, man. I can tell you something. There are few things in life, Phil, few things in life that you will stare at and suddenly get clinically depressed. In other words, the biochemistry will change in your brain just from you looking at a kangaroo. Now, I'm Professor Emery Clayton.
Yay!
That's very nice. And I obviously, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I know. What makes you think I'm kidding?
Well, what do you mean you're looking at a kangaroo is going to change your biochemistry? Anybody that goes to Australia and they want to go there to take their family and they want an opportunity at a new life and a new radio audience, a lot of good things culturally have come out of Australia.
Name one.
How about AC/DC? Oh.
Yeah, how about AC/DC?
Sorry, I'm black. I don't listen to that mess. Name one. Come on. Give me one. Give me some, any kind of funk, any kind of soul, huh? Anything that's got any kind of beat? No. I'm telling you right now.
I was kidding about AC/DC. All kinds of things. They've got a marvelous theater there. Great films as far as, the entertainment business. And, they've got a publishing down there. And
yeah, I'm listening to you fumbling around trying to answer the question.
Well, look, General Shaw's not the guy. You can find these things out. Australia is a very popular destination for a lot of people.
All right, I'm just telling you. It costs an arm and a leg. I don't know. You asked me about a sabbatical.
Yeah, you going to Australia?
No, I'm not going to Australia.
Well, where does this? What do we have in the United States that is...
That is comparable to Australia?
Yeah.
I suppose I could go to Hawaii, but unlike you, that to me is a real snore. I mean, that's double Z's. That's just... Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah, I understand. I'm talking about a place you could go. What about...
But Alaska!
Are you kidding? Alaska?
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with... I'm a black man. You are too, Robert. Alaska.
What's wrong with Alaska?
I just got done telling you, all right? I would like to run a little bit of warm air through me from time to time, Alaska. I don't need a lot of guys dressed in bear suits. Shit.
What do you mean dressed in bear suits?
You know what? Phil knows what I'm talking about, too. That guy that got ate up.
Oh, yeah, the guy that got eaten by the bears. He thought they were people in bear suits.
Yeah. I'm not the kind of clown that's going to make that mistake. I see a bear. I know what that is. And I know what it wants to eat. Me. My ass. Okay? And the better I get out of Alaska, the better it's going to be for my ass.
All right. How about if... Oh, Canada.
Canada? What is it with you guys? You with the jokes and everything?
I don't know where... You don't want to go to Hawaii. America doesn't exactly have some far-flung province.
Well, you know what I was thinking? New Zealand.
What do you mean, New Zealand, man? That's just like Australia.
No, it's not. Aha! I've been doing my research. New Zealand is a far more welcoming place. It might be a little bit more expensive than the States, but it's got all kinds of beautiful scenery. It's got the mountains, it's got the surf, all that stuff. And the people are cool, and it's not that big. It's just a couple of islands. So you keep all the creeps out of there. You see what I'm saying, Phil? This is the way I think about things.
Well, New Zealand's beautiful. Yeah, there's no question about that. And
guy that made Lord of the Rings lives there.
Who?
The guy that made Lord of the Rings?
The guy that made what, Phil?
Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
what's wrong with that?
I gotta hang around that cracker ass.
All right, Professor Clayton, I don't know where you could go.
Well, like, I need some kind of a sabbatical. Like, God damn it, Lord of the Rings. I'm gonna go down there. I'll be the first black elf. You know, Phil, of all the things that I hope and I pray for, I hope and pray that someday you'll understand my way of seeing things. I'm Professor Emery Clayton.
Look, Professor Clayton, sir, before you go.
Sir, before I go?
No, seriously, before you go. You do. I like the fact you're listening to chamber music and the fact you're listening to harpsichord music and all that jazz. I think you need to. We don't want to see you have a stroke or anything.
Well, that ain't going to happen to me. That's not going to happen to me. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling everybody out there, today's teacher, the modern educator, has got more bull jive, Jesus, man, stuff we got to put up with.
Sound like what?
Do I got to go through it again?
Well, you're talking about the students are not that challenging?
We walk into the classroom, and it's a classroom full of dumbbells. And it goes downhill from there, right? And then they come into class, they got all kinds of screwy notions. They're quoting Trump half the time, don't know their rear end from 40 cents a week. And I got to sit there and I got to try to shake some reality into their heads. Oh, yeah. So like I told you, I can go home. I love my wife. I love my dog. I love my neighbor. Oh, I love you, Phil. I love everybody there.
We love you too, Professor Clayton.
All right, great. But then I turn around. I come back to class. I walk in. I turn. I look at the students. And I go, yep, I knew there was something I was forgetting.
It's those students, huh?
It's those students, yeah. So I'm looking forward to my sabbatical.
Now you don't even know where you're going to go, though.
Well, I'll figure it out. Hey, what happened to, what the hell happened to the general?
General, where is he?
He's in the kitchen.
I'm in here just making myself a sandwich.
Well, what the hell is that all about?
Well, I didn't think you... What are you doing, man?
I'm making a sandwich. I didn't think you guys needed me.
Making a sandwich? I'm on the damn air. I'm talking about all kinds of challenging things. Hey, did you know this is me?
Yeah, I heard that.
What do you got there?
I made a tuna fish sandwich. None of your business.
Hey, why don't you tell me you're going, General, so we...
I thought I said something. I'm sorry. Didn't you say something, Robert?
No, I didn't.
Robert knew I was going.
Well, don't get up and make a sandwich. I was starving to death.
It's all right. It's okay. I know that, General, he doesn't care that much for me.
That's a load of bull. You know that I do. You were talking a lot of jazz about harpsichords and going to Australia.
Well, what do you think about that?
About what? Going to Australia?
No, I'm going to go to New Zealand.
You're not going to go to Australia, you're going to go to New Zealand.
Well, I was until they told me that clown that made that, what's that thing with the Gandalf, the Hobbit, or some jazz?
Oh, Gandalf is a wizard and a Hobbit.
Gandalf is a wizard and then he's a Hobbit.
No, Gandalf is a wizard and then Bilbo Baggins is the Hobbit.
See, this right here, General. You know, it's better that you went and made a sandwich because just to have to listen to this.
Well, it's not that complicated. No, it's a series of books by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Who's he?
That was the guy that wrote them, and I understand what you're saying.
I don't want to go anywhere with all them cracker assholes running around going, hey, let's go off to the Misty Mountains and mine gold, because where I come from, that means something filthy. I'm Professor Emery Clayton.
All right, Professor, thank you.
You're going to hang up on me?
No, I'm not. I can see where you're beginning to tire and bore of the entire thing.
Bore of the... Yeah. In fact, you've heard of that. You've heard about that book, Tarzan of the Jungle. I'm bore of the entire thing. I'm Professor Emery Clayton.
Thanks a lot, Professor Clayton. What?
Well, you know, you're staring at me.
You're eating your sandwich. I'm just asking you, man, before you go into the kitchen to make a sandwich, how about saying something to us?
Now, all of a sudden, we noticed that it was just us three talking, and we're talking to Professor.
Well, I was listening to everything that was going on.
Okay, fine. So you got a tuna fish sandwich?
Yeah, I got a tuna fish. I didn't think you guys had missed me. Look, I'm here for the duration, but I got a tuna fish sandwich.
Well, it's not like you walking off.
All right, I made a phone call. God damn.
Who are you calling?
I called Ted Bell.
You called Ted Bell?
I knew he was going to come on the show. I didn't want to...
You called Ted Bell for what?
He offered me the use of his season tickets, and apparently we can sit out there in that rock formation.
What?
Is that what he's going to talk to me about?
Yeah. But I didn't want to get involved in a lot of business here. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. I don't see what you're saying.
Well, get him on the phone. Is he up next?
What do we got, bud?
Yeah, I got Ted Bell coming up next. And then we have Ted Bell is coming up next. And then Dr. Clayton. And then Craig Swallowman.
Dr. Clayton? We just had Professor Clayton.
Oh, yeah. Then Craig Swallowman?
I thought it was Steve Swallowman.
Yeah. No, it's Craig Swallowman, but he's not going to be on. It's going to be Ted Bell talking about him.
Okay.
Phil, look, this is yours. You're the guy that created this weird universe, man. I'm just sitting here having myself a tuna fish sandwich with a gherkin pickle.
Yay. Yeah, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be right back. World famous with a gherkin pickle.
That's right, yeah. Want to make something out of it?
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, my name is William. I am a dachshund. The National Dog Show, I'm sure, is enjoyed by many, many Americans, as well as people all over the world. But the dog show, to those of us who are dogs, is a wretched thing. It is a bore. It is an encumbrance. It is an ordeal through which we must live yearly. Every year, every decade, on and on it goes. People handling your nuts. I'm going to go right out and say it.
You said you wouldn't.
I'm saying.
The National Dog Show. It's just not right. Paid for by a dog.
All right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Ted Bell with us out at Ted's in Beverly Hills right now. Ted.
Hey, Phil, yeah, listen. The New York Strip is in. It's arrived, and it's here for you at Ted's in Beverly Hills. The delicious New York Strip, 10 or 12 ounce, your choice.
Here at Ted's.
Yeah.
Ted Bell with us here from Ted's in Beverly Hills. Another busy night out there at the, it sounds like at the restaurant, Ted.
Yeah, where are we? Look, Bill, I am blessed. I'm blessed having a very, very successful business, a business that I'm able to luxuriate in. I come in here, I work my rear end off, don't get me wrong, but it is a terrific business.
Now, you know, I was talking with you, Ted.
Yeah, I heard you. I was talking to the general.
I let Phil know about it.
I heard you. Yeah, I know.
Okay. Now, you get to wear a bathing suit.
Oh, wait, hold on. That's the part I wish you hadn't spilled. What I'm talking about, Phil, is Craig Swallowman's a very good friend of mine. He's the guy whose boat flipped up the lake.
Who's Steve Swallowman?
I have no idea. I think the Dooley's got it wrong. Craig had a beautiful V-bottom, and Steve Dooley challenged him to a run over to the Goblin Inn. And Craig thought, this is no sweat. Dooley's got some little chintzy ski boat. And so, you know, Craig took off. He got too much air. Thought he was hot stuff. I mean, it's partly his fault, and he destroyed his boat.
Yeah, we saw the film of that thing.
Well, who took that?
Bobby.
God damn, talk about humiliating.
Yeah, and we watched the boat go up in the air and flip.
Yeah, pretty bitchin' looking, though. Didn't get hurt, did he?
No, he didn't get hurt. He got ejected. Basically, you know, Craig races that thing.
Yeah.
And
can I ask him? He races that thing, and yet he lost the race to the Goblin.
Well, he didn't lose it. He took off like a bat out of hell, and he got too much air. Dooley's back there, still trying to zip his fly up, and he looks and he sees Craig's boat is airborne, and Dooley's going, this is the easiest $50 I ever made. You know, so...
Oh, they had a bet on it, huh?
Yeah, and you think Swallowman's gonna trash a $300,000 boat for a $50 bet with Steve Dooley? Gee. So anyway, that was it. But Craig, yeah, we share season tickets. Now, where the general comes in is I offered the general to come out to Anaheim Stadium this weekend with us for the Angel game because of the fact that I spend a lot of money with the Angels, because I have season tickets that are box seats right behind home plate.
That's a long way to drive.
Well, you know, it's worth it because people kept saying, well, you get Dodger seats. I know you love the Dodgers. I said, no, I'm not going to get Dodger tickets. I'm going to go get Angel tickets. And they went, ooh, why? I said, because I'm not a Dodger fan. How about that?
You're from California, though.
It doesn't make any difference. I'm not going to, you know, bend over. Pardon me for saying this, Phil, but half the celebrities in L.A. and all of the baseball fans bend over and lube up for the Dodgers.
And that's very unfair.
No, it isn't. No, it's not. You know, it's completely fair. And you think you're going to find Ted Bell bending over, lubed, and looking at O'Malley. Or I guess O'Malley doesn't own the team anymore, does he?
No, he doesn't. It's a different ownership group. It's the, you know, the Guggenheim thing.
Who?
The Magic Johnson heads up the group.
Oh, yeah. You think you're going to see Ted Bell lubed up, bending over, and pointing at his rear end, and looking at Magic Johnson and mouthing the words, go ahead. You think that's going to happen?
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
Jesus H, Ted.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to spell this thing out as close as I can.
All right, so you're going to go down to Anaheim.
I'm going to go to Angel Stadium, and what they have for season ticket holders who spread a lot of money around. I'm not just some guy that bought expensive seats. Okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah.
I'm a member of the stadium club down there.
What is that called, by the way?
Yeah, they got a stadium club at the Angel Stadium?
They do.
What's it called?
I don't know. They got some. I walk in, and there's a girl that says, good evening, Mr. Bell. And I order a double scotch, and then I stagger to my... I tell you, I usually don't get to my seat till around the fifth inning, because I'm sitting in there just plowing it back.
How do you get home?
In a car. What the...
You're not driving yourself.
No, Swallowman goes with me.
So Craig lives up in Beverly Hills.
No, he lives in Orange County, but he drives me back. Then he comes back to Orange County.
Boy, he is some loyal friend.
Now, these are the guys that I'm going to be going to this ball game with. So, why'd you invite me?
Why did I invite you? Because you're a member of our military, because I like you, because you're a representative of Phil's show, because you're the one guy on Phil's show, frankly, and I don't mean any offense, Phil, but I...
Yeah, you just can't be seen with any of us.
It's difficult for me to be out in public being seen with Robert. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm black, huh?
It just has to do with some of my clientele, Robert. It's nothing personal.
You know something? I think I might just turn down going out there with you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Robert. Yes, I would want to be seen with you in public. Absolutely. I don't care what anybody thinks, okay?
Well...
I swear to God, I want to be seen with the general because he's military, okay? And this is part and parcel of the Trump... I support President Trump, and you need to be photographed with people in the military. And you need to be photographed with... Forgive me for this, Robert, who are black.
Yeah, so why don't you invite me to come out to the game?
I have other photo ops for you. I was thinking of inviting you and your aunt in for a free dinner.
What about an Angel game?
Okay, if you want to go to the Angel game, it's fine. I thought maybe a free dinner at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Wait, hold on for a minute. You need photo ops with who?
Here he goes again with that Hootie the Hoot Owl act.
He's talking about these photo opportunities.
I got it. It's if you voted for President Trump, you need to have these photo. I was never in the military, so I need to have photographs with him, photographs with black people. It gives me credibility.
To what end?
So people will say, "Oh, you voted for Trump." I'll say, "Yeah, but look, see, here's a black guy in a picture with me."
Oh yeah, man, that's real sincere.
You kidding me, man? That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
You know, I'm beginning to rethink this ball game.
Oh, please don't. I swear to God, I don't mean any disrespect.
No, what you're trying to do, man, is cherry pick all the photos you got, so that everybody sees you with a military guy, with a black guy. How about a Hispanic guy?
I already have that. I hire them. They work in my kitchen. I'm just kidding. Well, no, I'm not kidding.
Okay, and what about gay people?
They're all over the place in L.A.
So, Ted, where do these photos go?
Up in the restaurant. Okay. So, in other words, when people come in, there's Ted Bell with an African American. There's Ted Bell with a member of the military. There's Ted Bell with a Hispanic. There's Ted Bell with a gay. There's Ted Bell with, you know, whoever. And you know, it gives me some credibility. You can complain about it all you want, Phil, but that's where it's at. I'm Ted Bell.
Yay!
Thank you. Now,
all right, so what about this game? Okay, you guys are going to the game this weekend.
We're going to the game. We're going to go see the Angels play. And because I spent a lot of money, they'll allow us to go out into the rock formation in bathing suits.
What? What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
You going out in bathing suits.
They allow us to go out into the rock formation with towels and bathing suits and lay out. What's the big deal?
I've never seen anybody out there before.
Because you haven't seen anybody at those ball games with the kind of money that I spread around. Oh! Okay?
So you are the wealthiest cats that go to Angel games.
No, we're the wealthiest cats that want to go out into that rock formation, lay there, take a dip in that river, and lay there on my ass, and I don't care what anybody thinks.
How did you propose this to the Angels?
I went to the general manager there. What was that guy's name? I can't remember. Where's Craig? I'll have to call up Swallowman. If you're listening, call me up with the name of that general manager. And I said to him, I got a great idea. I spread a lot of money around here. And, you know, for a premium of $5,000, I'd like to go out and sunbathe on the rocks. He goes, per game? I go, yeah.
How many games are you going to go to?
One. And it's coming up this Saturday.
So this is the one game you'll be sunbathing on the... What, am I supposed to get into a bathing suit?
No, you can wear a suit and tie and sit up. Of course.
Ted.
Phil, don't talk down to me.
Ted, I'm not going to talk down. I got to ask you a question, though.
What?
Don't you think you're going to look a little asinine out there? I was just going to say that. Just hold on. Don't you think...
No.
Don't you think you're going to look a little asinine out there with this damn, bathing suit thing and out on the rocks and...
No, I don't. No, I don't.
What a statement are you trying to make?
I'm not trying to make any statement.
Yeah, look, I know you guys better than this. I know that when you guys come up with a real cuckoo idea like this, there's some reason for it.
Okay. You want the real reason?
Yeah.
I can't get Dodgers season tickets for lover money, okay?
Aha! That's the reason.
Yeah, aha. I can't get Dodgers season tickets if I was gold-plated. And you want to know why? Because I'm so sick and tired of looking at those people, so sick and tired of being told, oh, we're sorry, Mr. Bell, but, you know, we just can't do it this week. We can't do it. I'll tell you what, why don't you come on back some other time?
And so you can't get your season tickets for the Dodgers?
No, can't get season tickets for the Dodgers. I look like a real schmuck because I can't come through for my friends. And the next thing you know, guess what? I got season tickets for the Angels. I'm going to lay out there in that rock formation, bare-ass naked if I want to.
So it's all about impressing your friends.
It's all about business, Phil. The Dodgers can... Oh, man.
Watch it.
No, I'm not. The L.A. Dodgers can go out and park it.
Well,
Yeah, and the Angels are letting me go out in my bathing suit, sunbathe near that damn river.
You know what? The Angels are going to regret this.
What? What an asshole, man.
Well, what do you say that for? Because they're going to look stupid, man. They're going to have you guys laying out there on their rock formation.
Wait till Swallowman hears this.
I thought he was listening to it.
Oh, then he's already heard it.
Yeah. What do you think he's going to...
I think I'm going to be getting a phone call. He'll be hopping mad. He'll be, you'll hear it. It'll come in. It'll sound like Alvin the Chipmunk going... It'll be on the other end of the... Here he is right now. How you doing, Craig? I'm just making that up.
Yeah. Good luck.
Well, oh, come on, Phil.
Now, good luck, and good luck to you, General.
What do you mean, good luck to me? I was invited to go out to sell damn pish. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. If I'm made to look like a clown and a half, it's all on you, Bell. You'll be wearing it like a pie in the face.
I'll be wearing what on my face? And I'm serious, I didn't hear you.
A pie.
A pie? All right.
Okay, Ted, thanks a lot.
Well, Phil, don't bust my...
Ted Bell.
Ted, I've got to play the jingle.
Play the dingle.
Play the jingle.
The jingle. Oh, whoa. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Here is the jingle. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Ted.
Get it back. Ted.
What the hell are you trying to pull anyway? Ted's yeah. There's my commercial. Yeah. Steakhouse. Da-da-da. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We'll be there just before we go to Angel Stadium and lie on that rock formation wearing our underwear if we want to so I can show the Dodgers, guess what? I got the run of Angel Stadium.
And they'll say big deal.
Yeah. You know, I remember when the Dodgers used to be a big deal. But
there's Ted Bell and Craig Swallowman, if you're out there, man.
Craig Swallowman. Boy, there's a hot one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a hot one. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I can only tell you that this weekend ought to be a real rock'em sock'em weekend.
The world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. I'm General Galen Shaw.
You want to go out in a bathing suit?
I got to tell you something, Ted. I don't know what this... If that's the setup, forget it.
Yeah, but I mean, how many guys have done that?
Well, I won't be one of them.
Would you do it, Mr. Ian, if you was invited?
No, I wouldn't do it because I ain't exactly in bathing suit shape.
What the hell is this?
That's Dr. Monica.
What do you mean, demonic?
It's some band. Take it easy. We'll see you guys later. World famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass before we run out of them.
You can't run out of backstage.
I know, I know. I don't know how much you like. I'm a slip right. What makes it better?